going to stand for a minute and we're going to honor God. Yes. Just for a minute, not yet.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to explain some things to you because now more than ever in my heart and in my spirit, God needs the body of Christ to mature. When I have five children that are adults now. When I was raising my kids and they were babies and they were younger, they tore my house up. And there was toys everywhere, clothes everywhere. But as they got older and as I trained them and taught them honor and taught them respect, our house was in order. And so one of the number one signs of a mature house is that it's in order. That we're all adults and we're all grown up. So I'm going to open up. I'm teaching on freedom and deliverance. I want to talk about honor because we're going to honor God and we're going to honor his word. So we're going to honor God. God has on my heart, honor God, honor authority, and honor set leadership. We are honoring Pastor Rob and Pastor Carolyn and Christine when they are out of town. We're not doing what we want to. We're going to keep the standard of the house even though they are not here. Amen. And so honor means to evaluate at a price or to exhibit integrity. And integrity, when you break down the word integrity, it means wholeness. So the more healed we become, the more we operate in integrity. And so John Bevere wrote a book called Undercover. He wrote two books, one called Undercover and one called Honor's Reward. And what those books taught me is that honor is not for the person. Honor is for you. Because there is a reward for honor. I was preaching in Oklahoma a few years ago, and someone asked me, could they hold my books and my purse? And because I don't want to be like one of those people that you have to serve me, and I need this, and I need that, I was like, no, I'll do it. And then the Holy Spirit said, don't rob her of her reward. And so honor is for you. That's why the word says, tells children under 18, honor thy mother and thy father so your days can be long upon the land, and amen, things will go well with you. So there is a reward for honoring the house. And if the Bible tells us that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, then when we don't honor, disrespect is a sign of self-hatred. And when we don't honor, then we need to go back and check what's wrong with us. Because it has nothing to do with the object of your honor. The problem is in with you. So we're going to honor God in this house because he is worthy of the honor. He is worthy of the praise. He is worthy to be lifted and magnified. We will not dishonor the spirit of the living God in this house. And we are growing up from the pulpit down. And we're going to honor this house. And this house is going to be in divine order. Amen. Because we all want it to grow. We all want it to flourish. So we need to bring our house in order. So God, we honor, just lift your hands and speak to God in your own way. God, we honor your name right now. God, we honor your presence, Lord. God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Because you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, God. And so we don't have to bondage that. We don't have to walk in bondage. We are free in Christ. We have the liberty of Christ as long as the Holy Spirit is present. And so God, we thank you. God, I thank you for the honor and the privilege to be able to speak to your people, God. I thank you for the honor and the privilege to serve in this house under Pastor Rob and Carolyn and with Christine and co-labor with her. And so, God, we thank you so much. We are grateful for your presence. Create in us a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within us. And restore unto us the joy of our salvation. And so we bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So my topic today is freedom and deliverance. Amen. So I'm going to read quite a bit of scripture. Because this is the sign of a mature believer, is that we love the word of God. Amen. So I'm going to read Romans 6:1 first. And it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live in any longer in it? And then Romans 7:5. It says, for when we were in the flesh, The sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. I'm going to read verse 6 too. It says, but now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Galatians 5:1 says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. I want to say that again. Christ has set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in the slavery to the law. One translation says, do not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Ephesians 3:11-12 says, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ, Jesus our Lord, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and with confidence. So I want you to say, you can approach God. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You can approach God with freedom and with confidence. So I want to ask you the question, because we talk a lot about freedom and deliverance, but what are we being freed from? And what are we being delivered from? That's a question. I want you to think about that for, let it rest for a second. What are we being freed from, and what are we being delivered from? Because I hear a lot of people, I want to be free. I want to be delivered, but from what? And so I'm going to answer the question is, we are free. The Bible says we are free from the law. We are free from guilt. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We are free from shame. We are free from sin. And we are free from death. That is what we are free from. And I want to say this. We are not, and I'm not against deliverance as we call it, but we are not being delivered from demons. Biblically and contextually, we are not being delivered from demons. Demons are created beings, and they only traffic where they have legal right. Man's authority in Christ supersedes that of demonic powers and spirits and entities. So we don't need to be delivered from demons. The three ways that demons have access to our lives is through, number one, willful sin. But the Bible says the beauty of willful sin is this, is the Bible says we have an advocate who sits at the right hand of the Father, constantly making intercession for the saints. And he will purify us if we will confess. The thing about confessing sin is that we say the same thing that God says about it. We don't make up excuses. We don't try to cut corners. God, you said this is a sin, so it's a sin, and I call it a sin. That means that we say the same thing that he says. And he said if we would confess sin, because he is faithful, then he will purify us and he will cleanse us. So cleansing and purifying is not the same thing. When we purify silver, we get out everything that's dirty. It's called dross. It gets rid of all the dross so the metal can be pure. And cleansing is a washing. So he cleanses us and he washes us. And the next way that sin gets into our lives, is demons have access to our life, is through our bloodline. We inherit certain weaknesses and certain sins. And the last way is through trauma, childhood trauma. One thing I understand about the enemy, especially with prophetic people, is that Satan wants to yoke you early. And if he can put you in bondage at 8, most people spend the bulk of their anointing trying to heal from what happened to them 20 years ago. Or to clean up their mistakes that they keep repeating because of trauma. So those are the ways that the enemy has access to our life, because as a blood-bought, spirit-filled believer, I have authority over every demon spirit that would come against me and anything concerning me. And so I want to talk to, again, what is so, because we're talking about freedom and deliverance, I'm going to tell you what freedom is not. Freedom in Christ does not mean that we are totally autonomous. It does not mean we could do whatever we want, we can say whatever we want, we can go wherever we want, because we know that Christ will forgive us. Yes, there is forgiveness for sin, but it's not a get out of jail free card. Because the more you grow in Christ And the more you grow in love with Christ, it's no longer about obedience. It now becomes about relationship. I'm not going to sin because I don't want to hurt him. It's not about I don't want to hurt me. I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to offend him. I want to honor him. I want to honor the work that he did on the cross for me. Because we should all be on the upward cycle towards maturity. Amen. How many of you are maturing in Christ? How many of you love the word of God? Because we should be reading that daily. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing even the soul and the spirit asunder. The word of God is where we have power in Christ. Amen. Freedom in Christ does not mean we can do whatever we want to. Just because you're a Christian or you name Christ as your Savior, it doesn't mean that we can do and say and be anything we want to be. What does my final recourse concerning everything in my life is, what does the word say? We can't improvise. We can't make stuff up. What does the word say? And Galatians 5:1 says this: stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5:13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Freedom in Christ does not mean we will not have tribulations. We will have struggles. We will have trials. Psalms 34:19 says, the righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Another translation says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. Because we are in this world, but we are not of this world. You know, one day we're going to go home. The greatest thing that I can look forward to in my life is one day I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I will hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and enter into the joy of the Lord. So we're not going to all be here forever. So while we are here, there will be afflictions. There will be loss. There will be trials. And Matthew 16:33 says, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So as believers, we are strong in him, and we are in the power of his might, and we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And that is where our freedom and our deliverance lies. And there are times when we do need each other to break off assignments of the enemy. There are times a soldier does not go to battle by himself. He doesn't fight on the front line alone. So the Bible says a person that isolates themselves only cares about themselves. And so we have to, the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together so that we can provoke one another to good works. And God showed me a long time ago that word assembling, when I was growing up, nowadays you have to put everything together. But when I was growing up and we got our toys, it said assembly required. I don't care how many times we put stuff together, there was always a piece that we didn't know where it went to. It's always that one piece. But that's how he yokes us together in Christ. When we come to church, assembly is required. Make friends. Co-labor with one another. Walk in love towards one another. Honor one another. We are not serving God in a silo. Those of us that are in leadership, we're not leading in a silo. We are co-laboring with one another that requires honor and respect. So God wants us to co-labor. Because honestly, I think like the burden, I'm going to kind of freestyle here. The burden on my heart is I really know that the church is shifting form. And church as we know it, these controlling and manipulative leaders that destroy the body of Christ and hurt God's people, God is getting rid of that layer of ministry. Because it is destroying the body of Christ, and you have a bunch of people out there that do not want to come to church because they don't want to be hurt. That's an oxymoron. If the church is here for us to get healed and whole, why would we be afraid to come here and not want to get hurt? There is so much church hurt in the body of Christ. It is unbelievable. And a lot of it is that we are not free in him, because free people are mature people. Free people love God's people, and they respect and honor God's people, because freedom comes at a price. You don't get free just because you want to get free. The Bible says, do not be entangled. Freedom is a fight. I fought for my freedom in Christ. I fought for my deliverance. I fought for my wholeness. And so free people understand that there is a responsibility that comes with their freedom. And if we understand the responsibility, then we won't hurt one another, or backbite, or talk about one another, or marginalize one another, or disrespect one another. So how do we, I'm probably going to finish a little early, but that's okay. And we're going to have prayer at the altar. So how do we execute your freedom? How do you execute your freedom? I don't like to preach a message without giving people things to make the change in their life that they need to change. So how do we execute our freedom? Hebrews 10, 11, 14 says, every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time onward until his enemies be made a footstool for his feet. For by one offering he has protected for all time those who are sanctified, and the Holy Spirit also testifies to us after saying. So one of the ways we execute our freedom is this, that we acknowledge the finished work of the cross. So what did the cross do for you? It freed you from the law of sin and death. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is when Jesus was hanging on the cross, and he was at the point of death, and he hung his head and said, he hung his head and said, and gave up the ghost and said, it is finished. It says 500 people broke up out of the ground and went into the city. Talk about liberty in Christ. I don't care what you are going through. I don't care what sickness you are dealing with. And we're going to pray for sickness and disease today. I don't care what you are dealing with. The cross covered everything. These people had died pre the cross, and as soon as every drop of his blood hit the ground broke open and they came out of the grave. I decree today that you are coming out of your grave in the name of Jesus. I don't care what's holding you. I don't care what's binding you. I don't care what lie has been told about you. You are going to be free in Christ. So stand to your feet for a quick second and declare that I am free. Nothing can hold you any longer. You are free in Christ. No sickness, no mental torment, no lie, no deception. You are free. I don't want you to leave this place and not execute and not understand that you are free. You don't have to have another sleepless night. I come against insomnia in the name of Jesus. I break the power of fear in the name of Jesus. You are free and delivered in Christ. And so, God, we rejoice because of our freedom. And we accept everything that you did on the cross as complete. There is nothing else that needs to be done. So the first way we execute our freedom is this. You can sit down. Is acknowledge the finished work of the cross. Because one of the scriptures I love, when Jesus was on his way to the cross, he said, the God of this world has no hold on me. And so because of the execution of the cross, the God of this world has no hold on me. The next way you can execute your freedom and deliverance is by renewing your mind to your new reality in Christ. If you are going to struggle in your faith, it's because you are not renewing your mind to the reality of who you are in Him. The Bible says that we are a new creation. We are a new creature in Christ. And old things have passed away. So I don't care where you came from. I don't care what you did. I don't care what happened to you. The Bible says old things have passed away and you are new in Christ. And so we have to shift our mind to understand who we are now in Him. I am a new creation, amen, in Christ. And I thank God for that. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 says that you put off. So when it says you put off, that's something you have to do. Concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Not perfection, but righteousness and holiness. Because the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. We are righteous in Him. Because we are in Him, we have been made righteous. But it said, be renewed by the spirit of your mind. Most people are enslaved in their minds because freedom is a mindset. Freedom is a mindset. And even like if we think about slavery, which is part of our American history, there are some that didn't even know they were free or didn't even want to be free after they were set free because in their minds they were still enslaved. And so if we're in bondage in Christ, it's because we're still enslaved in our mind. The labor of a righteous man is to work the word. How do you become free in your mind as you work the word of God? What does God say about you? Who does God say you are? The Bible says that every hair on your head is numbered, that your name is engraved in the palm of His hand, and that He knew you. Even when you were being formed in your mother's womb, He knew you, and every single day of your life was ordained and written in a book. So who are you in Christ? Because we have to renew ourselves to the liberty that we have in Him. And it's not liberty to sin. It's liberty to make a difference. It's liberty to change. It's liberty to be free and walk in total and complete deliverance in Christ. The main cause of bondage is faulty thinking, unrealistically, untruthfully, and irrational thoughts. And I tell Christians all the time, it is so important that you renew your mind on a daily basis. Because Satan will bombard your mind from the moment you step out of bed. You don't have to let every thought that hits your mind. You don't have to receive it. If somebody knocked on your door and said, here's a bomb for you, you wouldn't take it, now would you? You would throw that thing and give it back. So we don't have to receive every thought and every lie that the enemy hurls our way. And you don't stop a thought with another thought. You stop a thought with what comes out of your mouth. Jesus was in the wilderness. He was not only dealing with physical torment and physical attack, it was psychological. And He said, it is written. So you respond to every lie and deception of the enemy with the word of God. And I remember when I was younger, in my early 20s, I used to struggle a lot with anxiety. And I remember the Holy Spirit asked me one day, He said, what were you just thinking? And so we are to capture those thoughts and send them back to where they came from. We don't have to be tormented by the enemy anymore. But I am diligent about renewing my mind to who I am in Him and what He has called me to do and just who I am as a person. The next way you execute your freedom is declaring the word of God over your circumstances. Francis Martin wrote a book called Hung by the Tongue. What you say is what you get. And so we have to be careful about what comes out of our mouth. We have to be very careful because sometimes I said earlier that demonic spirits come in through legal entry points. Like one of the ways that the enemy was able, when I got saved, was able to, you know, hinder my life is because I opened the portal of witchcraft by playing with a Ouija board. And I didn't know that I had to close that door until God started showing me, this is what happened when you were 13. Now repent for that and close that door. So it's always legal entry points where the enemy can attack us. And one of the legal entry points is by what we declare out of our mouths. I'm never going to be good. I'm never going to be make it. I'm sick. I don't claim any sickness or disease because it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to the pits of hell. We don't claim that. There may be a diagnosis, but it is not mine. I wouldn't say I have this. This is my sickness. This is my disease. No, I send it back to where it came from. But the problem with healing sometimes is it's like a parabola. We wait till it gets to the top of the chain. And then we start declaring going down. You hit it right here at the bottom. The moment you get a diagnosis, thank you, but no thank you. And you start declaring the healing power of God over your life. And so we have to be very careful. And I love the story when Jesus was on his way. He was on his way somewhere. I don't know where he was going. But there was a fig tree. And then the fig tree should have had fruit on it because it was the season for it. And he walks up to the fig tree and it has no fruit. And he said, no fruit. He declared it. He said, no, and listen to the principle. He said, no fruit will grow from you ever again. And the Bible says that the roots withered up and died in the ground. And he turned to his disciples and said, whatever you say to the mountain, it shall be removed. He showed them the principle of declaration that what you say has to come to pass because we are created in his image, because we're still talking about freedom and deliverance. Amen. And some of the ways we put ourselves in bondage is by what we speak and what we declare. And so we have to learn to control our mouth, control the traffic that comes in and out of our mouths, because what you say out of your mouth is going to affect your mind as well. But and I want to kind of backtrack. As believers, you have to renew your mind every single day. Fear is one of the number one things that the enemy will use to torment his people. Anxiety is always about the future. Depression is always about the past. What shoulda, coulda, woulda? What could I have changed? What could I have done differently? How did I get here? And so we have the power. We don't have the power to change the past. We forgive the past and we release the past. One of the quotes that I live by, Maya Angelou said, she said, I did what I knew to do at the time, but when I learned better, I did better. I made a lot of mistakes, but when I've learned better, I did better. And so we don't have to beat ourselves up over what happened because we're talking about freedom and deliverance. You could be bound to your past until the day you die because you're trying to fix something that's already over and done with. But you can't change your past, but you can definitely affect your future. And so you don't have to worry about your future because God says he has a plan for you, a future and a hope. And so you don't have to worry about what's going to happen. All you have to do is trust him and say what he tells you to say. And the next way is knowing. So we're talking about how to execute your freedom. Knowing and applying the truth of the word of God. John 8:32 says, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. But I want to tell you, it's the truth that you know and exercise that makes you free. Not just knowing the truth. If I know I need to put money in the bank, I'm not going to sit in my house for 30 years holding some money. I'm going to go to the bank because I know that I need to go to the bank. So when you know the truth, you exercise the truth. And you apply the truth. And that's the part of the truth that will make you free, what you know and what you exercise. Because John says this, so if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. And that word free indeed means the execution of your freedom. So I want to say freedom and deliverance is an execution. We execute it every single day that we get up. There are so many opportunities we have when we wake up to get in bondage. Amen? And we all have them. I can be depressed. I can be sad. I can be reckless with my finances. We have opportunities every day to be in bondage. But indeed means that we execute our freedom. It's an actualization of our freedom. And so we have a moral and spiritual responsibility to not only walk in freedom and deliverance, because again, we have authority over every demonic power and spirit. We have been created by God. God says, subdue the earth. Take charge of it. And that includes everything in it. We may not be able to execute everything in the natural, but we have the power of prayer and intercession. And that word indeed means to be exempt from liability or from paying the debt of sin. We no longer have to pay the debt of sin because it was fully paid on the cross. So we don't have to be guilty when we make a mistake. We don't have to go in bondage when we make a mistake because the cross paid everything in full. Indeed means to liberate. It means delivered from obligation. Freedom is a state or condition of being free. So how many of you are free today? I can't hear anybody. How many of you are free today? How many of you are no longer in bondage today? Because the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is present to set you completely free. It does not matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're dealing with mentally. It does not matter what's going on in your body. We are free. So stand to your feet and say, I am free. Declare your liberty. So God, we thank you that we are free today. And those watching online, I send the liberty of Christ to you right now in the name of Jesus. You are free because who the Son sets free is free indeed. And we will not say, I will not be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Amen. Shout hallelujah. 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 Thank you, God, we're free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So we're going to transition. I'm a little early, but we're going to transition into a time of ministry. Two things. If you are struggling with some type of sickness or disease in your body, I want you to come to the altar. Those of you that have been called, Adrian, those of you that have been called on the prayer team, I would like you to come up. But if there is anything going on in your body illegally, we take authority over it right now. And so you would come and get a prayer of agreement. And if you need to renew your relationship with Christ, if you feel a little off kilter or you don't feel like you're in the pocket or in sync with God, I would encourage you to come to the altar. And the last thing is if you need to accept Christ, we don't want to close these doors or I don't want to get off the pulpit, that if you need to accept Christ in your life, because this is one of the main reasons we exist, is so that people can come into right relationship with God. You are free to come to the altar right now. And so, Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God. We thank you for the healing of your spirit. We thank you for the liberty and the wholeness that we have in Christ, Lord God. And Father, as we celebrate the freedom of our nation, Lord God, I thank you that we are free in Jesus. And we take authority over every sickness, every disease. We break cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes. I come against miscarriages, infertility. And God, we call those things out and we call them forth. Hey, and we decree a breaking in the spirit right now in the name of Jesus. I break the spirit of divorce right now. I break it over this congregation in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that we have an opportunity to worship you this morning. And we bless you and we honor you in Jesus' name. So If you need prayer, come up again. Don't be ashamed. Don't be fearful. But in the meantime, just lift your hands and begin to worship. We have a few more minutes of service, but just begin to worship.